Blog Talk Radio.
Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. And for those who are listening to us through Blog Talk Radio, I'm also broadcasting on Facebook Live, something that I rarely do, but I just felt that I could go there tonight. And so, as always, we want to welcome Mary Ann Williams around the table. We call her Mama. Mama, good evening to you.
Yes, and good evening to you, and good evening to my PRF family. Thank
Amen.
You for being with us this evening.
Yes, yes, yes. Today is an exciting time. We're talking about something from the financial literacy perspective. You know, this is one of those times when April every year is Financial Literacy Month, and there's not too much talking going on about financial literacy. And so we just wanted to talk about whatever was coming up in the atmosphere for this month. Every time we came on the air at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here at the PRF table. So, again, those of y'all who are just joining in, God bless you, Sister Miriam. God bless you, Brother Brother Malone and Dr. Zimmerman, who's going to be on Your Health is Your Wealth, our other show that's every first and third Friday of the month at 2 p.m., hosted by Kimberly Silas, who's on our team out of Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Zimmerman, she's going to be talking with her for the month of May, so we're looking forward to hearing that. So tonight, Mama, listen.
Yes.
As we conclude this month of Financial Literacy Month, man, let me tell you, there's been some things that have been coming up and some things that we just found that it's just kind of necessary to talk about sometimes. And let me just share one thing. So I was meeting with a gentleman earlier today, and this gentleman is in the insurance space. And here's one of the things that shocked me. This is, again, financial literacy, right? This is about learning these things of a financial concern, financial nature. Let me tell you what we were talking about. We were talking about individuals in prison and, you know, how to help people with reentry that's coming back into society. And he dropped a bombshell on me, Mama. Here's a bombshell he dropped on me. He said, call me JR. He said, JR, listen to me. He said, don't you know that on a lot of insurance applications, it asks, are you a felon? I'm like, what? Are you serious?
Oh, my goodness.
But that got to do anything, right? Cat needs insurance, wants to take care of his family or her family after they're gone. And when I looked at the application, I said, no, you got to send this to me. I'm in his office, right? I said, you got to send this to me. And he showed it to me, and then he emailed it. And it said, are you a convicted felon? Have you been convicted of a felony within the last 10 years? And I said, oh, my goodness, this is bad. What state you are, we know that that's an issue, right? Because that precludes individuals from getting certain things like jobs, right? And listen, I get it. I understand that you can't. It's going to be kind of challenging if you're an employer to bring somebody in with certain type of crimes, depending on what the nature of your business is. So I get that, right, Mama? But
yes.
The part that I just couldn't wrap my head, and those of y'all who are here, I can't wrap my head around this insurance piece. And so I know that.
Me either.
Yeah, on some of the applications, it asks things like, have you been, you know, convicted of a DUI in the last 2 years? You know, stuff like that. You know, what about your traffic citations? You know, I get it because some of those things are risk, right? Some of those things show, you're talking about the last 2 years, they're showing that, you know, there may be an indication of future behavior, right?
Yeah.
Doggone. So if Dunlap robbed a bank 10 years ago, I got convicted, I'm out, I've served my time. And now I want to get insurance. I want to take my family. I want to live out Proverbs 13:22 in one respect with that text and leave an inheritance to my children's children. And then, Joker, you asking me if I've been convicted of a felony? What? See, listen, I want some folks that's involved in the insurance thing. I want y'all to help me understand what that has to do with anything, right? Because somebody, and that's why I posted, are you playing checkers or are you playing chess? Because you got to understand the game. You got to understand the game. And here's what I thought about, Mama. Jump in whenever you want to, or anybody else that has anything.
Okay.
To share. You know, if you, you know, I know people are watching this on Facebook Live, but if you are paying attention to us through Blog Talk Radio, you know, just press one on your phone and join into the conversation. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you want to join in. The telephone number to do that is 347-215-7934. 347-215-7934. I thought, again, that question, have you been convicted or felony? You've done your time, and now you want to get insurance. You want to live out Proverbs 13:22, if that's your basis, or you just saying, look, I know I need insurance because I got kids, right? I got some seeds that are running around.
Yes.
Will they tell you no because you are a convicted felon? How much weight and how much of a bearing is it for you to be a quote-unquote convicted felon or haven't been convicted of a felony? I don't want to put that as a title, but you've been convicted of a felony, and yet you got to respond to that. I get it. If it's the DUIs and all the driving fast, I get that. But think about this. There's a whole bunch of, you know, I'm a assistant professor, an adjunct professor of criminal justice. So there's different types of misdemeanors and different types of felonies. So embezzlement, right? Think about it like this. And I'm not highlighting one over the other, right? Like we don't do with sin, but I'm trying to throw out one. So I'm somebody who does writes some bad checks and they write them for $3,000, right? A couple checks keep coming back, $3,000 worth of bad checks. And they get charged with, it becomes a felony offense, right?
Yes.
What does that have to do with taking care of your family? And you know this, and I know I'm throwing the rhetorical questions out here, and I'm not giving anybody a chance to respond because I'm excited about this thing. But think about this. This is why the whole thing about you got to understand, are you playing checkers or are you playing chess? Are you doing something for right now or are you doing something for the long term? Many of the insurance companies don't have a problem giving you enough to bury yourself, right? These burial policies. So, you know, the $10,000, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't have a problem giving you those, right? They don't have a problem. I spoke to two people today, right? So it wasn't just one. I had to call another person that's in the industry. I said, hey, listen, this is what I'm griping with. I'm grappling with this right now. And he said, listen, well, if it's under $100,000 policy or like $250,000 policy, and it is not anything dealing with investment, with accumulating wealth, then that really doesn't matter. They don't really deal, you know, you may be a convicted felon, but they're really not going to look at that. And I said, oh my God. I said, so you listen, y'all got to understand this thing. Somebody who's convicted of a felon, if they want to get a burial policy, right? You know, the little $10,000, $15,000, right?
$10,000, $15,000, yes,
The reality is that their insurance premiums are going to be higher than the same cat with the same situations other than the felony. It's going to be a lot higher. So you would let somebody who's a convicted felon, Mr. Insurance Company, you would let somebody who's convicted felon get $10,000. But you won't let them get $100,000 or $250,000. The fact that they have more into play. And again, I want all these insurance folks to come out and talk about this. Because here's the deal. We don't mind letting you guys have some money to get yourself put in the ground.
Right.
But to have that type of control over you accumulating wealth, which we know insurance is the number one wealth creator in the world, right? Or at least in America.
Yes.
But we don't want that part. We don't want you to let your children's children to not have to get through the loan.
That's what I was thinking about. Yes.
Yeah, and be able to get out of high school and have $30,000-$40,000. Yeah, we don't want that type of thing. And again, unless somebody defends themselves who's in this space, I'm gonna talk about it like this. That's crazy to me. I'm like, whoa. $10,000, yeah, we'll give you that. But $250,000, we got to look at that a little bit more. Well, let me look at your
here, $250,000, you're saying they won't ask you that question about are you a convicted felon in the last 10 years. That's what you're saying.
No, on the burial policy, nope.
On the burial policy, it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter. If you're getting those policies, that's going to be about accumulating wealth.
Okay. So, no, I don't understand that, because what does that have to do with anything? I mean, they're allowing you to have $10,000, okay,
right,
if you are a convicted felon, but they won't allow you to be really independent.
Because it's
still keeping you in the low income bracket, because most of the people I know have $10,000, say.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not wealthy either. And $10,000 is what the people at the poverty level that I know have.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a girlfriend who, you know, had $1 million policy because she was wealthy. So from what you're saying, when I think about this, okay, it's more to it than is it being said that it's okay, we will allow you if you're in a poverty, level, this is what we allow you, but we want you to stay there.
Because, like you said,
accumulating wealth is through insurance. So that's one way that you can accumulate, wealth. Even if you're working a $10 an hour job.
Well, Mama, listen. Hold on. Let's back up. Let's not act like everybody coming out of prison is broke, busting, and disgusted. There's people.
No,
that,
I'm just talking about, you know, if. No, I'm just talking about the poverty level of $10,000. Because, see, I don't have any, wealthy friends. So the people that I do know, most of them are carrying $10,000 to $15,000. But they're also at the poverty level. That's what I was saying. That's all.
And so, people getting out of prison. Again, somebody coming out of prison. Somebody coming out of substance abuse, trying to reconnect with the world, trying to do better for themselves. When I heard that, I said, man, how does that work? What type of blow is that for somebody?
I'm not getting it.
Huh?
Understanding it.
Yeah, I messed up. I did my time. And so since I messed up and did my time, now I'm trying to get some things back on track. But I want to secure things for my family. I want to secure things for my wife or my husband or my children. I kind of want to feel better about myself, because I know that if I die today, that my family's going to be okay. They're not going to be out in the streets because my income is not there. It's already hard enough for individuals
right.
who have that mark, those type of marks on their particular record, that stigma that's there. It's already hard enough, and so. I'm just saying, listen, that does not mean something that nobody even has to worry about. Trust me, we're going to do something about that. That's it, bottom line. We're going to do something about that. That's just interesting. Let me throw another one out there. So I was talking to a good friend of mine, right? Nate, good afternoon, sir. Not me, y'all. I'm not talking to myself. Those of y'all think I'm talking to myself. I'm talking about Nate Sanderson, Fit Financial. So we were having a conversation, and man, it was kind of crazy because he was talking about the Catholic Church, right? About how he said, Gerald, he said, listen, don't you know, tithe is not something that they really are doing in the Catholic Church. That's not one of their big things. And I'm just, I can't tell it like he tells it, right? He can come on camera and tell if he wants to. But he was talking about how they take out, they encourage their members to take out insurance policies. And then designate the insurance policy or assign it was the correct terminology. And he also used a thing that's it's called an irrevocable policy clause is what he mentioned to me. And so I take out a policy and I make St. Mary's Catholic Church the person who I assign the policy to. So I'm paying the premiums, right? Listen to this, Mom. It's so genius. Listen, go back to what I said. Y'all playing checkers, you're playing chess. So I'm going to pay this $20 a month, $25 a month to have this policy, but it's assigned to St. Mary's Catholic Church. Oh, how about this, Mama? Holy Angels Catholic Church, right? It's assigned to Holy Angels Catholic Church. They're the ones that are going to be the benefactors of this policy when I die. I'm just paying a policy. I'm just paying a premium. $20, we get it early enough, right?
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. And God forbid that there's a cash value. I have that type of insurance policy that it brings cash value to it, right?
Yeah.
You know what I said? I said, what? Man, a whole bunch of other folks need to learn from the Catholic Church to get some of your theological differences and stop being ignorant, right? Because think about this. While some of you, oh, my goodness, Mama, while some are just so trying to get their tithes right now, I need you to get, listen, Mama, I'm Pastor Dunlap, I need to get you need to get the money right now. That's what really needs to happen. It needs to come right now with no foresight on the future. That's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy. Think about what you just said, Mama. You said a lot of people in your age bracket and in your community don't have a lot of money. Mama, can you just imagine? I mean, let's just imagine. It's 100 people living where you live, right?
Okay.
And all y'all 75, 80, 85. Can you imagine if there was a policy?
Wow.
That each one of you had was assigned, and think about it. Y'all all in the same community, right? So a good likelihood in certain communities where everybody's going to the same church, right? Because a lot of y'all relate.
Yes, okay.
You imagine, you know, God forbid, I mean, you know, time comes, right? When it's time to go, right? You don't have no control of that. God does. But it's your time to go. And, you know, older folks, you know, the natural progression of things is we expect older folks to go before younger folks. So, you know, 70, 80, 85, 90, God calls them home. What they couldn't do in life, they can do in death. And he told me, Nate, and Brother Nate was telling me, Mama, he was telling me about how this one sister had left this, did what I'm talking about, and said, when I go, put it inside of her will. Uh-oh, will you not, right?
Okay.
Put it in the will, right, in through her estate that I want this altar made of this and of certain dimensions. But was able to do it after she was gone because she couldn't do it while she was living. Listen, we got to be smarter about how we're dealing with things within the church.
Mm.
It's got to be smarter. It's got to be smarter. I mean, think about this. You know, it's funny. You know, I mean, y'all know I'm from Philly, and it's just amazing how there's a lot of cats in jail. You know, a lot of cats in jail up north. And you just got to know that whenever, especially like, I'm going to bring it into church for a moment. So we know that Sister such and such grandson, you know, he got locked up. He was, you know, doing whatever he was doing, right? We know that, right? And then
Yes. We're
so happy when Junebug or whatever comes home, right? They finally got out. We got to pray, lay hands on him. We want the best for you. You're God's workmanship. We put all that into them when they're there. When they come back, because we want them to succeed. But the question is, what have we done to help them succeed?
Yes.
Right? Right? And then you think about
yes.
it off today, Wick, because we're only going to be here for 30 minutes tonight. Think about this barrier, right? About this convicted felon. You know, listen, I'm out, right? I'm out. Junebug says I'm out of jail, whatever. And now I know this is something I heard this PRF folks, I heard this legacy conference stuff. You know, my grandmama told me I need to go if I'm going to stay in her house, whatever. And then we're telling folks this, you need to have life insurance. And we're telling them this is part. What can they do? The truth of the matter, the church ain't going to bury them. But we so happy they got out of jail. We so happy they done their time. We want the best for you. What are we going to do? And so one of my questions, Mama, was why ain't nobody challenging putting up legislation on this? You know, think about this thing. We got to be smart. People are fighting against removing and have fought against and been successful at it in some places, removing this whole thing on job applications about are you a felon? Yeah, I did something 15 years ago. It ain't off my record. Hey, I sold some drugs 15 years ago. Not me, Nate, right? But I sold some drugs 15 years ago. And because it's on the application, I got to check, right, my honesty, my integrity. So if I say no, they find out. Uh-oh. So I say yeah, then they say I don't want me. Come on, that's a catch 22. But then when I get out of jail, getting a job is critical.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Told, truth be told, Mama, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to be not so happy, but the church ain't employing nobody.
No.
No, that's not really happening.
Not that I know of.
That's not really happening. So yeah, that's my thing. If anybody has anything, y'all can jump on. So I'm going to shift real quick, Mama, to another thing. Earlier I was talking about sowing and reaping. Uh-oh, here he goes again. Yep, here I go again. Talking about sowing and reaping. And one of the things I was talking about, because in one of the courses that we teach, you know, the courses are refuse to give out of ignorance, right? That's
okay.
The giving. And one of the lessons is sowing and reaping just won't do. And so the advanced part of that is a little bit what I'm going to share with y'all in a couple minutes or over a couple minutes. But so many people think that because I sow that I should reap, right? I got it. I'm not saying anything, right? I got it, right? Because, you know, we do scriptures that talk about that. But we also have scripture that says you reap what you did not sow. So it's depending on where you want to be. And one of the examples that I gave earlier, Mom, was this. I said, listen, so many people are into this sowing thing. That's become this religious buzzword, Mama. So. I'm like, okay, I hear you saying so. Right? Sow your gift of this. And so I need 30 people to sow $1,000. And then when only two people come up, I need 25 people to sow $500. People come up. I need 15 people to give $100. Next thing you know, at the end of the day, it's really going to be what? Whatever you have, just bring it to the Lord. Come on, man. Stop that foolishness. You're already doing it. Stop. I mean, come on, man. Because folk are believing in this principle of sowing. And I'm not telling you to hold that. Right? But so many people believe it. And so many people are sowing into ministry, sowing into church, sowing into you because of your title. And what I asked earlier was, what's happening when you sow? What's happening? What's going on when you sow? Well, you know, get all spiritual with me and talk about all the spiritual things that come upon this whole notion of sowing and God's going to bless your obedience and all this stuff. Yes, okay. So now, here's what I said. Let me watch this. If I planted 1,000 trees, Mama, if I planted 1,000 trees, apple trees, I don't plant them, right? I don't just plant them, and then I walk away and be like, ooh, Lord going to handle this. Lord going to send the rain. Lord going to, come on, man, that's stupid. Some people may try to say that's faith, but that's not what happens, right? And the way we get understanding of things is from this word, right? A lot of us, I'm sure, I know you can't see it, Mom, but we get understanding from the word of God, right? And so if I'm understanding in that scriptures that talk about sowing, I got to examine how I'm doing things when it comes to sowing. And if I'm talking about sowing in a whole different, totally just so unorthodox concept that just doesn't make any sense, then my foundation is not rooted in this. So all I'm saying is, let's get an understanding and look at let's look at the word a little bit about what the word is talking about when it comes to sowing. And then maybe you get a foundation, and then when you come across scriptures that talk about, you know, for those who give sparingly, you shall also reap sparingly. But then when you come across the other scripture that says, you reap what you do not sow, you're not saying, listen, you don't have to get in an argument with nobody talking about, well, that's conflicting. No, it's not conflicting. It's two different contexts. And so one context doesn't fit everything. Just like sowing, oh, man, I wish this person would just say what they had to say earlier about this, but just like sowing in the same, listen, I can sow 1,000 apple trees. I can sow them, right? I can sow into them. That doesn't mean all of them are going to produce the same amount of fruit, Mama.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean at all. It doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. So watch this. If I planted 1,000 apple trees, and then only one of them bears some apples, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm not going to look out there, Mama. Think about this. I'm not going to look out there and be like, well, I got one apple tree. I'm going to say, hold on, dog. I done bucked my behind. Sitting up here doing all the work that's required to nurture, to cultivate these apple trees.
Yeah.
I did all this. I put all this water. My doggone water bill went up $200 a month because I'm up here out here in the backyard planting all these doggone apple trees. And then I get one tree. to have some fruit.
Is
that going to be acceptable to you? Because you're going to say, no, I sold this. I put my blood, sweat, and tears in it. Because see, now here's the thing. That's where it becomes different when we talk about sowing in the ministry and sowing in the church. Because a lot of folks are just throwing it in there and just walking away like, oh, God, go take care of God. Come on now. You got to do something. The principle of is not just throwing seed. It's not just throwing seed on the ground.
Yeah.
That's not the principle of sowing. And there's a purpose for why I'm sowing. Now, and I said this earlier. Everybody doesn't have the ability to do the work that's needed from a seed that has been planted.
Yes,
Anybody doesn't listen, Mama. If you started planting an apple tree, you may need somebody to help you out at your age, doing some of the work that he's done. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of times, people miss the whole thing. Just because you sow don't mean you got to do all the rest of the work. If we're supposed to be in community like we're supposed to be in community, then doggone. Listen, I travel. Y'all know that. So think about this. I planted those trees, but I got to go on the road for 2 weeks. So I'm just going to say, oh, Lord God, you just going to make sure that you keep sending the rain while I'm gone? Come on, that's stupid. No, I need to say, listen, Mama, I need you to go by the house. Listen, Mama, it's not, we don't see no rain and nowhere in the forecast for the next 2 weeks. At least every other day and water the grass. Or I say to my son or my daughter, listen, I need you to go by my house, son or daughter. I need you to flip the switch and turn the sprinkler on every other day.
Yes.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
This thing is not about what, and see, that's what's been wrong. What's been wrong a lot of times is, listen, you sow. This whole mentality about you sowing so that you can get ain't biblical.
That's good.
And so a lot of people are saying, listen, think about this. And I'm about to go. We're about to go. Think about this, Mama.
Okay.
Think about how on New Year's Eve, right? Think about on watch night service, right? Think about whether you do it at 6 o'clock in the evening on New Year's Eve, or whether you come in at 8 o'clock, or you leave at 10, or you come at 10 and you got to have breakfast after the 12 o'clock. However you do it. You and I both know, Mama, you and I both know that a lot of times I ain't been to a watch night service where it has not been spoken, proclaimed, decreed over people's lives in that church that this is going to be your best year yet. I ain't never been to a watch night service, Mama, I promise you. We're supposed to have, where it has not come out that this is the year that you're going to, people talking about this is the release. I've been hearing people talking about the release of the debt 2 years back to back. Well, oh, good God almighty, that ain't biblical. That's not biblical at all. The Lord is saying you got 2 years back to back for the release of the day. Go read it. It's there. So people hear this and they say, listen, okay, I'm excited about this. This is going to be, but you know what people don't get, Mama? And that's why I'm so grateful for this ministry. People don't get the practical tools. Let me tell you something that happened. And I'm had somebody that I spent a couple hours with, about 2 hours with, about a week or so ago. He said, listen, I don't know what to do with this credit thing. And I got something, my credit score, I know my credit score is bad because I checked it with Credit Karma. And he told me what it was. It's like 500 or something. I was like, ooh, that's, you're right, that ain't good. So I said, listen, here's what I need you to do. I said, I need you to call me on such and such a day. And you call me, we're going to walk through your credit reports, right?
Yes, okay.
They tell them all the long-term effects. They looked at me and they said, because of your authority, because of what you do day in and day out, because of all the people that you help, I'm going to listen to you. The Bible tells us clear, in the multitude of counsels, there is safety. So this person has a mother, this person has a father, this person has a pastor, this person has teachers. The multitude of counsels, there is safety, right? So we're talking about that comes out of wisdom literature. So you got to be listening to people who have the wisdom, not just saying flowery words. And so as I'm sitting down with this individual, this young lady, I'm walking through some things. I say, okay. This is not good. This is that. Okay, it didn't look bad, but they had one thing on their credit report, Mama. One thing. It was a collection on their credit report. Right, wrong, or indifferent, doggone it, it was there. Okay?
Okay.
So this person, I learned that this person came and had been given a gift of a couple hundred dollars. I said, let me tell you what you're going to do. I didn't give them the option, Mama. I said, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to take 100 of those $500 that you've been given, and you're going to pay that collection agent, that collector, that $100 that you have on it. And again, I didn't give them everything on going on down the road. I didn't tell them all the 100 benefits. I didn't give them all that. Listen, I need you to just go ahead and take care of your responsibilities. That's it. Mama, let me tell you something. We went through all three of the credit agencies, right? Credit bureaus. Those of y'all who don't know, there's three. That's pretty much. A lot of people just say, I got one credit score. No, you don't. If you say my credit score is this, then that means you're not financially literate about what we're talking about because you got three. So she calls about 2 days later, and I may try to find the message, but the credit score, Mama, it went up like 30 points or something like that. And they were so excited. It's a young person. I'm so excited about their credit score. I'm excited for them, too, because a lot of times the works that we do, the ministry that we offer, a lot of times we don't get to see the full benefit of what's going on in people's lives. That's just part of the nature of it. So when I'm able to get something and somebody is, you know, comes back with a testimony or whatever, I'm just like, man, I'm elated.
That's exciting,
so, yeah, I'm excited. So what was even better was a couple of days after that, let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
More excitement. Let me tell you where the more excitement was as I try to find this text, but I don't think I'm going to get it. Let me tell you what the more excitement was. The more excitement said their credit score, she said one of the other credit reports, remember you got three of them, right? So one of them only went up like 20, 30 points, so that was a good thing. She was happy, hallelujah, praise God for that. But when she called me back the next time, oh my goodness, she said something different. So here it goes. The TransUnion one went up 658 to a 658 when it was 622. That's good. That was like the next day, right? When they went back and checked it after they did what I told them to do. Ain't got time to be asking folks. I'm sorry, this stuff that's serious, and we need to just do it right now. And real leaders need to stand up and say, I need to know where your credit report is, where your credit score is. I need to know these things. Not trying to be all in your business, but I need to be all in your business. I don't even need to be asking you for stuff when your credit is both been discussing. You can't do anything, but here I come asking you to give an offer. Or, as we started on this thing, sow a seed with that crazy. All right, Mama, so here's the other thing, right? They called me a couple days after that, and then they guess what they said. Listen, I done that. Because all the credit scores was like 5-something, right? Credit score went up to a 697, Mama.
Wow.
About 100 points. And all they did was pay one collection on their credit report. Praise God.
Wow. Amen.
You know what that did? It wasn't like I had the time, but I made the time. So I sold it to that young person. I wouldn't be talking about it if we wasn't talking about sowing the reaper, right? But I sold the time. And that young person put it to work. I told that young person what to do. That young person could have said, you know what, I'm a college student. I need that other $100. But they did. Why? Listen, go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. Same thing with Elijah and the widow woman. When the widow woman came to Elijah, he said, what do you have in your house? He said, I have nothing but this little jar of oil. Then he said, take the jar. He said, not take the jar, but go to your neighbors, get jars from them, come back in, tell them what to do, pour it from the oil you have into all the other ones so the oil stopped flowing. Then at the end of the story, it says she was able to pay off her creditors, and her sons were able to live off the rest of it. This is what this
wow.
is.
That's
what happened,
beautiful.
Y'all, this.
Testimony.
The super was happening, but she had to do the natural.
She still had to do the natural. Yes.
So many times, so many folks are looking for the supernatural, like, I ain't got to do nothing. God go do the super and the natural. That's crazy. Because that's not how God is continuously operating when you read this book. Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's truth right there. That's not me giving commentary. That's true. So same thing with this young person, right? The young person, what they do, they took the wisdom and they put it into practical application. So now guess what you're going to find out? This is what you're going to find out. This young person knows that there's other young people around them in their community, in that college that this young person goes to, some of the friends that are in the same type of situation. And when any time somebody says something, I'm just believing that young person is going to say, listen, let me tell you what happened to me. Just like that person was excited to call when somebody said, man, I got these things on my credit. Well, listen, I know how you can do something. May not be able to tell them everything that I told them, but can refer them back to me or somebody else on our team or someplace else. I don't give a flying nothing. It don't have to be me. I just want folks to get it done because too many folks are coming in the area you're talking about. So I ain't about to be selfish about it. Listen, I'm only one person.
Right.
That's the truth of the matter.
Right. You just want, you know, we just want people to be to get out of a financial bondage, you know.
Yeah, all the way around, all the way around. Listen,
yes.
I say these things. I don't go live that often anymore. It's kind of, but this, again, this thing with going back to the seed, this thing with the seed. You know, I just think, and I believe in my heart that people really need to evaluate what's going on. So listen, okay. Let's say you take a sunflower seed and you put it on the table in your living room, in your dining room, or in your kitchen. And let's say you take some dirt, mama, and you put it on top of the seed.
Okay.
Mama, let me just tell you something. If a big old sunflower plant grows from that, I will be very surprised. I'll say, man, that was super and the natural right there. God did all that. Because all you did was put the seed on the table and you pour some dirt on it.
Yeah.
You didn't put a water on, nothing. You go away for 2 weeks, come back, and now you got this big old sunflower seed, sunflower, this doggone big, gigantic, just sitting on your, yeah, God did that all day long because you ain't had nothing to do with that. That's not how everything is usually happening, though, Mama. And so what I'm going to tell you is the whole thing with this sowing of seed thing, listen, stop talking about sowing a seed and expecting a miracle. Listen, how many times have you seen a seed be planted in the ground and a fruit come from that the next day?
No.
Crickets. All right? So why, not you, Mama, but why are you trying to pimp God? Like, listen, I sowed my seed today, Lord. You need to show and make this, you know, this tree need to grow by tomorrow. Come on, now, what is that? What are you saying? It's a process.
Even
if I fall back a little bit, right? Even if I fall back, and I'm about to go in, we got 3 minutes. Even if I fall back a little bit, and I just taking the part about the harvest. Come on, man. Let's take one tree. You take one garden. You're not going to be able to harvest all that's there in that garden in 5 minutes.
No. Mm-mm.
It takes work.
It is work.
All day long. So this thing of harvesting, that's part of the advanced one from the lesson. But stop acting like this thing, like God has this God is required to respond to you because you may have got yourself in a fix or because you done got emotional and you say, you know what, I'm going to sow this $100 seed and I'm expecting, come on, man, come on. If God tells you to do it, then do what you can do. What God tells you to do. I'm not telling nobody to do what God tells them to do.
Right.
And it's not been used like that a lot of times. And so we got folks that's like, man. And so, as I said earlier, Mama, as we get ready to go, it's okay to ask the Lord, what's happening? Lord, I sowed this seed. What's happening? Listen, I remember one time Marvin Sapp came to my town. I lived in Columbus, Georgia, Mama. Marvin Sapp came to town. First started my business, right? And it's amazing because one of the things that came out, you know, same thing about $100, $50, $25, $10, you know, that thing. You know, everybody just bring what you got, right? But it was sow the seed. And I wanted my business so much to just thrive. Right? You know, we were already doing all right, but I ain't trying to work another day in my life. I'm just trying to do this, right? But I was just in that moment, Mama. It wasn't like the Lord said to do. And so I wrote that check. And as I thought about it years down the road, I was like, what was the benefit of that? Now, see, some of y'all are going to try to get all spiritual and religious and be like, well, you know, it was out of obedience. Well, it was not obedience. It was like I wanted my seed to multiply.
Yeah.
And this was the that I was in, so I was like, oh my goodness, Marvin Sapp is here and he's the one that's asking. So somebody says, sow a seed and watch God do something good in your life. Sow a seed and watch what the Lord does. Well, I tell you what, and I'm only playing when I say this, but just listen to this, y'all know I like to have to make a point. You sold $49.99 today. Go onto our website, prfministry.org. Go onto our website, right? Go, everybody, pastors, all y'all, go onto the website right now, prfministry.org. Go to our support page. Sow a seed of $49.99. You can put $49.99 in there, right? In fact, we may have a little tab for you. Or you can do more if you want, but sow that. And watch God do something great in your life. Mama, I'm not asking you to do it, because if you ain't done it by now, then definitely need to be doing it right now, because I'm playing around with it. But I'm making a point. You mess around and you do that. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look and I'm going to see that you're alive, breathing tomorrow. And guess what I could easily say? Look what the Lord has done. The Lord woke you up, gave you another opportunity, another day of life. See, people have to be wiser than just falling for all of some of these okie dokes, just saying any old thing. Okay, so how about this? So for those of you who don't sow the $49.99 seed into the PRF Teaching Ministry on our website, prfministry.org, when I see you tomorrow. So now we got a two. What's the parallel? The one who sowed, I said, if you sow it, then you'll get a blessing. But the ones who didn't sow it, I'm looking at them, and you standing right next to the person that didn't sow it tomorrow. So what happened? What happened with the seed? See, you got to understand, everybody doesn't have it to sow. Everybody in the Bible was not.
True.
So how in the world do people receive the benefit of a harvest when they don't sow the actual seed? Because, again, what's going on is it's a mentality. It's become so religious. And I'm not trying to say people ain't studied their word, but listen, I'm a guy. I just called you. I got caught up in that. So it happens. But here's what I would challenge you to do. Examine those scriptures. And you can wait for us to do it through the course, right? But if you want to do it now, examine those scriptures that talk about sowing and reaping. 100, 60, 30, 100, all those different folds. Think about this. My last point, Mom. We got 3 minutes.
Okay.
If five of y'all, right, if everybody, the ones who in my fictitious thing, right, of $49.99, so 10 of y'all have already, bam, I've seen it. It's coming over the screen. Bam, bam, bam. I'm happy. Praise the Lord. They did it, right? Ooh, they pay that bill now. All right, so now we got this $49.99 from the 10 of y'all. And then one of you, something great happens, something miraculous, something that you're willing to say out loud, man, I sold a $49.99 seed to the PRF Teaching Ministry, and look at this, boy, my son who just got out of jail, he got him a $50,000 a year job. Then the other folk are saying, well, I done sold the same seed.
Yes.
What about my? See, those are questions that you have the ability to go before God and say, okay, God, hold on, what's going on? What's going on? What happened to my seed? Did my seed not go on the good ground? But you done gave it all to the PRF Teaching Ministry. These are questions, I'm telling you, I have too many conversations with folks that have so many questions about so many things. And so before they cut us off, so they're going to about to turn the lights out on us, Mama. But listen.
Yes.
This has been fun. I'm going to let this one stay up. I'm not going to get it out. So listen, all that I was talking about, they're sowing a seed. Listen, I'm not asking anybody to sow a seed. Y'all know the website. If you've been on the website, you know it's there. If you want to sow. If you don't, fine. If God tell you to do it, I hope you do it. Do we need to support? Yes, we do. God bless you if you do. And guess what? God bless you if you don't. PRFteachingMinistry.org is the website on behalf of all of us. God bless you. We'll see you next time. We'll see you next week, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Y'all know how to reach me. Mama, it's been fun.
Yes. Okay.
And we're going to say happy birthday to Mama, because Mama has a birthday coming up in 4 days. So, Mama, we say before everybody, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. See y'all. All right. Peace.
Okay. Thank you.